Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
How are we excited to be in church in the presence of the Lord? Aren't we thankful and grateful? Let's do two of the F's that Dad just talked about. Fitness. So first off, everybody stand up across this place. I know you're all kind of hunkered down. You got your big coats on. You're all nice and warm. So we got fitness done, right? We did a little squat there. And then next, let's do future. Think about this. What's one thing you've been believing God for or just, you know, hoping for that if it would happen by the end of this year would make this the best year ever? So this is the future portion, okay? So I'm going to ask you to think, all right? So what's one thing that if it would happen by the end of this year you've been hoping for, praying for? Daniel, it looks impossible. That's good because we're going to talk about it tonight. But I want you to tell your neighbor on each side what that one thing is that would make this year the best year ever, okay? Going to do it? All right, let's do it. Go ahead. Some of you aren't doing it, you know. All right, did you all do it? It's important to dream, right? It's important to see that. If we can't see it, we're not going to receive it. Amen? Okay, so are you excited about the end of this year? Okay, now let's bow our heads and let's pray right now. Dear Heavenly Father, we are grateful for what you're doing, God, in our lives, God. God, we may be battle-worn, we may be tired and cold tonight, God, but we know, in spite of what it looks like, God, you are working things together for our good. And God, we expect it tonight. We expect it, God. We expect the breakthrough. So, God, we pray right now for tonight's message. As it goes forth, God, I think it's going to fall on good ground, and we're going to bring forth good fruit. And, God, if there's anybody here, God, that doesn't know you, they're not going to leave this place without taking the next step. In Jesus' name, everyone said amen. All right, you may be seated. Okay, there's another squat, sort of, quarter squat right there. All right, so we are starting just a one-off series tonight. It was awesome because Dad was praying about it. He didn't even know what I was talking about tonight. And Ellie was singing about it, but we're talking about breakthrough. Look at your neighbor and say breakthrough. We're not talking about the movie that came out, but what we're talking about is many of you, I know there's things in your life, some of you just shared with your neighbor there, that you've been believing God for this entire year, and man, you just don't see anything moving. You've been praying, you've been hoping. Maybe it's a child that's away from God. It seems like they're into every sin under the sun. Maybe there's a finances that, man, I was going to get debt-free this year, but you just got like 20 more bills in the last week. It doesn't look like anything's moving. That's what we're talking about tonight. We're going to look at a story of King David. Here, I'm just going to read the first part of it. It says 2 Samuel 5:20 in the New King James Version. It says, "So David went to Baal-perazim, and David defeated them there." He's talking about the Philistines. And he said, "The Lord has broken through my enemies like a breakthrough of water." Therefore, David called the name of that place Baal-perazim. You know, Dad, he's been saying this thing. He walks around all the time, and he's always confessing. He's always saying stuff under his breath. And one thing he keeps telling me all the last couple, "Daniel, this is going to be the best holiday season Church on the Rock has ever seen." He said, "Daniel, this is going to be the best Christmas in the history of 36 years of Church on the Rock." He says, "Daniel, we have never experienced a Thanksgiving or a New Year's or a Christmas like we're about ready to see. God is going to do amazing things in our church." He's constantly saying that. He's saying, "Daniel, we started as a year of better, and guess what? The year's not over yet. There's better still to come. This last part of the year, it's going to be our best year." And you know what I said, "Dad, I latch on to that. I put my faith with you. I'm believing God. It doesn't matter how bad the year's been going at the beginning part. It's going to be so much better at the end. God's going to make up for it. This is still going to be the year of better." Amen? If you look at the definition of breakthrough, If you look at the definition of breakthrough, I love this. It says, a sudden advance, in your notes if you're taking notes, a sudden advance, especially in knowledge or technique, an act or instance of moving through or beyond an obstacle, a sudden burst. I love that. A sudden burst, a sudden advance, a breakthrough. You're not expecting it. I was talking to a young man this last Saturday. I got to go out to lunch with him, and he was telling me how that he had been under some financial pressure, and he began, though, just to keep serving God. He was committed. He kept tithing. He kept showing up at church, and God gave him a breakthrough idea in the area of technology and media, and it began to bring in an extra stream of income into his life. He said, man, I don't even know what to do. I'm able to bless my wife like never before. I have money I don't know what to do with. It was a breakthrough. It was a sudden advance. Can you believe for that? Dad was telling the story. You heard him say just this last week he was walking through the lobby, and there was a gentleman there who talked about his wife who had a stroke, and she was blind in one eye. It looked bleak. Dad prayed with him, and guess what? 1 week later, the blindness was gone. She could see. It was a sudden advance. It was a burst. This verse right here, actually, it says like a breakthrough of water. The biblical picture is a dam that all this water is building up behind it. It's hitting the dam, and it's going to burst and break through. How many want to experience that? A burst of God's favor. A burst of God's love. I was thinking about a story. Years ago, Dad used to tell, he pastored a small church in Moberly, First Assembly of God Church. It was just a beaten, broken down church, really ugly. Sorry excuse for a building. The stairs were all broken on the front. The windows were broken in. There was a wasp nest, hornets coming in and out of his office. And the church had been around for years, right? They had several pastors. They had been believing God to sell this church. It just never seemed to happen. People had, you know, even put in contracts but had backed out of it. Seemed like it was never going to happen. Well, God led Dad to go on a 3-day fast. In spite of all that, God led Dad to go on a 3-day fast. And Dad said even before he was done with the fast, he was out working in front of the church one day. A car pulled up on the sidewalk there. A guy rolled down the window and said, hey, do you know the pastor of this church? And Dad goes, that's me. And he says, well, is this church for sale? Because I'd like to buy it. What took all these years, because of a 3-day fast, God brought the breakthrough. There was a sudden advance. There's some of you that are here tonight. You've been facing disease. You've been facing heartache that's been plaguing you for years. Guess what? The end of this year is going to be a sudden advance. God's going to take care of you. You're going to experience a breakthrough. Amen? Tonight's big idea at the top of your notes right there is simple but hard. Everyone say simple but hard. It's simple to say, but it's hard to do. It takes commitment. But we're going to go a little bit deeper tonight, and we're going to look at God's word and see how each and every one of us can experience breakthrough. Here's how it goes. The big idea, prayer plus obedience equals breakthrough. Everyone say prayer plus obedience equals breakthrough. Now, you guys got quiet on that. When I started talking about obedience, yeah, we're all for breakthrough. Obedience, no, we're not really for that. We all want big biceps like Neil, right? But we don't want to put the work in, right? So everyone say it like we really mean it tonight. Prayer. We're excited. Plus obedience equals breakthrough. I believe in you. I know you believe in me. We can do it. This end of this year is going to be the best we've ever experienced. Let's go to 1 Chronicles chapter 14 and look at King David, a man after God's own heart. We're going to kind of dive into this story that we looked at from 2 Samuel 5, verse 20. It says here, when the Philistines heard that David was Israel's new king, they mobilized their forces to capture him. But David learned that they were on the way, so he called together his army. The Philistines were raiding the valley of Rephaim, and David asked the Lord, if I go out and fight them, will you give me the victory? And the Lord replied, yes, I will. So he attacked them at Baal Perazim and wiped them out. He exalted God and he said, God has used me to sweep away my enemies like water bursting through a dam. That is why this place has been known as Baal Perazim ever since, meaning the place of breaking through. After the battle, the Israelis picked up many idols left by the Philistines, but David ordered them burned. Couple things before we go on with the story I want to bring out to you. Notice the first thing that David did when he was faced with a difficulty was he withdrew to his tent. He withdrew to his tent. What are you saying, Daniel? He got alone with God. Think about this now. His scouts had just saw the Philistine army on the other side of the hill. They're barbarians. Imagine like the worst 300 movie you've ever seen. Spears, swords, big old hairy dudes, right? Chariots, bow and arrow. They're ready to kill some people. And David's like, hold up. Turns around and goes right back into his tent. Can you imagine his generals are standing around looking at each other, right? But he knew that before he made a move, he had to get the Lord's mind on what was going on there. You'll never find a breakthrough unless you seek it. You're never going to get your breakthrough unless you're expecting God to bring it. You're never going to get a breakthrough unless you expect Him to come through for you. Look what David said in Psalm 77, verse 2. He said, in the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My hand was stretched out in the night without ceasing. David was saying, man, when I got all those unexpected bills, the first thing wasn't, what can I sell to see how I could pay him? The first thing wasn't, what jobs, extra jobs can I take to see how I can pay him? It wasn't how I could move money around. It wasn't that. It was seek the Lord. When I got that bad report from the doctor, I didn't go around complaining. I didn't feel sorry for myself. I sought the Lord. When my child called me and said at school they lost their faith and they're an atheist now, I didn't feel sorry for myself and talk doubt, talk negativity. I said, no, I seek the Lord. So number one, let's take a look at our formula. Go deep here in it. Prayer. Why does prayer help bring the breakthrough for you and I? Number one, it brings wisdom. Everyone say wisdom. The wisdom you and I need to get through our breakthrough, we find it in prayer. That verse, Psalm 16, verse 11, it's one of my favorite. If we have it here, it says, thou wilt show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. We love saying that in your presence is fullness of joy, but we forget that first part. In his presence, he shows us the path of life. When you and I get alone with God, when you and I seek his presence, when we spend time in prayer, guess what? He will give us the answer. In James, he says, if any of us ask for wisdom, guess what? He's going to give it to us. A couple years back, I was a senior in high school. I asked Dad, I said, Dad, I want to go fishing for my senior kind of getaway. So he took me to Branson, and we went to Table Rock Lake. And back then, I was into fishing. I don't know what it was. I was into all that stuff. I was reading these magazines, In Fisherman, Bassmasters, watching Jimmy Houston and Bill Dance, all that nonsense on ESPN on Saturday mornings, you know, all the fishing. I was into it. And I watched, they were smallmouth bass, you know, smallmouth fishing. I always wanted to try that out. Always looked cool, you know, to me. Never done before. Done everything, but I had never done that. And so Dad hired a guide, and I was excited. He hired a guide for us. We got all our gear, got all our bait. We got in the boat. And that guide started going right out to the middle of the lake. Now, it is June, and it's burning hot in the middle of the day. Now, I'm thinking to myself, where did Dad find this guy? This guy is crazy. I've been watching all these shows and magazines, and you know, I'm thinking we need to go some tributaries and, like over here under the brush and stuff. And then we're fishing in the middle of the day. This is like Dad found this guy on Craigslist or something. This guy is totally out of his mind. He goes out to the middle of the lake, and he could see I've got this kind of attitude on my face, right? He goes, all right, Daniel. He goes, now what I want you to do, I want you to pull out about 25 feet of fishing line. I'm like, 25 feet of fishing line? This is crazy. So I do it, right, pull it out there. And he says, I want you to take a black magic marker. I want you to mark at that 25-foot mark right there, okay? I'm like, all right. So cast it in. We let the bait go down 25 feet right there in the middle of Table Rock Lake, middle of the day. And you know what happened? I caught a fish. Caught a big smallmouth. And I brought it in. I'm like surprised. I'm looking at Dad. I was like, this is crazy. Throw it in again. I caught another fish. Throw it again. Do exactly. I caught another fish. It was like that. I'm serious. It was like just one after the another. It was crazy. It was a breakthrough of smallmouth bass. And I was like, Dad, this is crazy. I've never seen this before in my life. And well, then the guy, he was laughing. He's like, you thought you knew more than me, didn't you? He's like, let me show you something. And he pulled up this little thing. I'm sure you've seen it. Those are your fishermen. You got it on your boat. But these little depth finders. Have you seen that? Do we got a picture of it? Do we have a picture of it? Not ready. Okay, well, you've seen these little depth finders. There we go. So it kind of looked like this. This is an old school one right here. Have you seen this before? So you call this a depth finder. Some people call it a fish finder. Right? And so basically it tells you how deep the bottom of the lake is and what the terrain is and everything like that. But he said, Daniel, check this out. So he showed me, and there was all these fish grouped at 20 to 25 feet right down there. And we were just dropping it right down there. And he said, see, you were only looking at the top, but I knew what was underneath. He said, you thought you knew more than me, but I knew right where the jackpot of fish was. So you were looking at the surface, you were looking at all the circumstances, but I knew all along where the breakthrough was. That's why we go to God in prayer. He's got a depth finder. You may think you got it all down. You may think, man, I know exactly how I'm going to make the money to pay this bill, how I'm going to fix my kids. No, he knows exactly where you need to go, and that's why we need to seek him first. Amen. Look here, 2 Chronicles 20, verse 3, in the New King James Version, it says, Jehoshaphat feared. Now, this is King Jehoshaphat. He was a king of Judah as well. He had all these armies coming against him. It looked bleak, right? He had, like, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the termites. They were all coming to kill him. It says, Jehoshaphat feared, and he went on Facebook and started mouthing off a bunch of stuff. He started calling up his prayer line, which was really just a gossip line, and talking about how he was doomed. No, it says he set himself to seek the Lord. Look at your neighbor and say, seek the Lord. That's the answer. That's why we pray. Wisdom. Number two, the reason why we pray, power. Look at your neighbor and say, power. Isaiah 40, verse 31, we all know this, but they that wait upon the Lord, right, those that seek the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The strength that you need today to get through this rough time, this slow time, the stamina, the resilience, it's found in your quiet time. It really is. Everybody nod at me. It's found in your quiet time. The power that you need to overcome this obstacle and wait it out for that breakthrough, it's found in your quiet time. It's not found in self-help books. It's not found in online college. It's not found in having the right friends and politicking, having enough money. It's found in him and only in him. I was telling the staff today, when I was a young guy, Dad took me to a drag race strip. It was Mid-America Raceway out in Winsfield. Does anybody remember that? It was way back in the day. There's some races out there. And Dad took me out there, and one time I was with him, and real little guy, I saw the most beautiful car. I still remember it. It was just gleaming in the sunlight. It was a red and white 1955 Chevrolet Bel Air, and it looked pretty much like this, right, Dad? Pretty much, almost exactly like this. And I saw that car, and I was like, wow. And Dad ended up buying that car. I'm going to cut the story short. But he ended up buying that car. Now, this car just sounded mean, Neil. It just had that It just sounded. You know what I'm talking about? Do you know what I'm talking about? Can I get a witness? It sounded mean. It sounded evil, right? And we walked around that day, and I remember asking Dad, because there was other 55 Chevrolets that exact same year. There was other 55 Chevrolets, that exact same model. There were some, though, that had a post, some that were four-door. But yet, they sounded nothing like this. And I said, Dad, why don't they sound like that car? And he said, Daniel, well, that one over there has a six-cylinder in it. And this one over here, that dude just put a 350 crate motor in it. But he said, my car has a 427 big block. They had to push out the firewall just to fit that baby in there. It's got a crusher transmission and a Dana back end. His point was, is that the performance of that car was related to what was on the inside. The performance of you and I, how we perform in these bad times when it looks like nothing's moving, is dependent on what you have on the inside. It's dependent on the power that you get from your prayer time. So, number one, from prayer we get wisdom. Number two, we get power. You and I are only as powerful as our prayer life. If there's one thing you want to skip, man, skip the Hulu, skip the Netflix, skip the Disney Plus. I know it's not working for some of you, so you don't got to worry about skipping that. Don't skip your quiet time. Luke 5:16 in the Living Bible says that Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. If Jesus had to get alone and pray, how much more do we have to get alone and pray? All right, number two part of our formula, obedience. 1 Kings 2, verse 3 in the NIV says, observe what the Lord your God requires. Walk in obedience to him and keep his decrees, his laws, his regulations, as written in the law of Moses. Do this so that you may prosper in all you do and wherever you go. The second part of our formula to experience breakthrough is obedience. I love this phrase. It's in your notes. The thing that is keeping you from fully obeying God is the thing that is holding back your breakthrough. Think about that. The thing that is keeping you from fully obeying God is the thing that is holding back your breakthrough. There's a story in the Bible about a guy named Naaman. He was a leper. And it talks about here, let's look at it, 2 Kings 5, verse 9 through 12. It says, Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Now, he's going to visit a prophet in Israel that's going to get him healed of his leprosy, okay? Elisha sent out a messenger to Naaman saying, go wash yourself seven times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed. But Naaman was angry. He said, I thought surely this man of God would come out to me and call on the name of his God, wave his hand over the spot, and cure me of my leprosy. Are not the rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed? So he turned and went off in a rage. You see, his sin of pride was holding back his breakthrough. Anyone say amen? That thing that's keeping you from fully obeying God, whether it's pride, maybe it's unforgiveness, maybe it's the way you've been talking, maybe you've been talking negative, maybe your self-talk is terrible, maybe there's some lack of integrity in certain areas of our life, but that thing that's holding us back, guess what? That's the thing that's holding back your breakthrough. But you know what? This is going to be the best end of our year ever, amen? And those things have been holding us back. This is the year we're going to find freedom. This is the year better. Amen? 1 Chronicles 14, 13 through 16. I want to finish this story about David going along here with obedience. Because look at this. This is awesome. So think back to the story we started off with, right, with the Philistines coming over the hill. David went into his tent, right, and he whipped them the first time with God's help. So here we go again. So later on in the chapter. Verse 13 through 16. Later, the Philistines raided the valley again, and David again asked God what to do. Now think about that. He just whipped the Philistines just a couple verses before, right? He already asked God once. Most guys would have been, I probably would have been like, well, God told me how to do it that first time, so I'll just do the same thing the second time. But not David. Not a man after God's own heart. It says, and again, David asked God what to do. And then the Lord replied, go around by the mulberry trees and attack from there. When you hear a sound like marching in the tops of the mulberry trees, that's your signal to attack. For God will go before you and destroy the enemy. So David did as the Lord commanded him, and he cut down the army of the Philistines all the way from Gibeon to Gezer. And it says, David's fame spread everywhere, and the Lord caused all nations to fear him. What I want you to see is look at David's obedience. Look at how careful he was to get the mind of God on whatever he faced. People that get breakthrough, their first response is always to seek God. Their first response is always to obey God. They're the people that experience breakthrough. But you have to do it hand in hand. And I love this about David. You know, you think about it. Again, he goes back in and asks God what to do. And then I love this in your notes. If all you ever do is pray and don't obey, they have to be together. Nothing's going to happen. It's a formula. And that story is just amazing to me because you think about it. Like, imagine like David, okay? You could think in his army, he had David's mighty men there, right? All those bad dudes, right? And David's like John Wick of like that time. You know, he's tough, right? He's got all these notches on his belt. He's been thousands of battles, killed hundreds of people, right? Blood all over his chariot. I mean, he just got done whipping them. And so, again, you can imagine that there's probably some young soldiers in that group, right? They came in. David, oh my gosh, David, they're here again. The Philistines are back. They're on the other side of this hill. And he's like, hold up. Back into the tent. And you can imagine those young guys are looking at each other like, can you believe this guy? He already talked to God once. Why is he asking again? They probably looked at the mighty men. What is he doing? He's talking to God. Yeah, this is what he does. He talks to God. He finds out what we're supposed to do. We do it. We win. Right? And you can imagine, like, that going on, right? Then imagine this. David comes back out. All right, guys. Talk to God. And remember, he's tough now, right? He's one bad dude. And he says, here's the plan. We're going to go out there and wait by those trees. And then when we hear the sound of people walking in the top of the trees, that's when we know where to attack. Think about that. That's crazy. Wouldn't you think that was crazy? Think about those young guys are probably looking at the mighty men are like, are you serious? This guy, he wasn't praying in there. He was drinking in there, and he's talking out of his head, right? But think about that. They're probably laughing and carrying on. It didn't bother David one bit. He said, I'm going to obey God. In spite of it, people laughing, people thinking he's crazy out of his mind, in spite of God telling him to do something that just looks completely foolish, he said, nope, I'm obeying God. And as a result, he experienced the breakthrough. So number one in our formula, what do we got to do? We got prayer, right? Plus what? Equals what? One more time. Prayer plus. One more time. So what I want to do is I want to challenge you the end of this year. What do you say? Let's believe for what Dad's saying. This is going to be our best year. We're going to experience breakthrough like never before. We need to do two things. We need to seek God like never before in this busy season. And secondly, whatever he tells us to do, or what he's told us to do, or places where maybe fudging the lines, we fix it. I want to go back to this story. This word here, Baal Perazim. Can everyone say Baal Perazim? There you go. You got some Hebrew tonight. So David, he called it Baal Perazim. Now you see there, when we read that from the Living Bible, if you look back there, it translates that. It says the place of breaking through, right? Well, scholars tell us now that that's actually off what that is. Now, if you look at this name again, there's something interesting here. And I want to encourage you with this because I want to give you something to believe God with. And we're going to pray and we're going to go. We got 2 minutes. Cool? He says Baal. Why would he put Baal there? Who could tell me what Baal is? It's the false god of the Philistines. He's the worst god. Right? The god of pleasure, the god of sex. They would kill babies, sacrifice babies to Baal. He was a terrible, terrible god. We're talking about evil incarnate, right? The worst of the worst. Think about the worst villain, the worst thing you could ever think of. That's what Baal represented. So why would he say Baal broke through here? That's not what he was saying. The actual translation is this. The actual translation for perizim is not breaking through, it's broken through. What David was actually saying there was, the enemy thought this was the place they had the strongest hold. But our God broke through. The enemy thought this was the place where there was no chance. But my God broke through. The enemy thought this was the habit I was never going to lose. I was never going to beat. But my God broke through. The enemy thought this was the bill I could never pay. I was never going to be out of debt, man. If you saw all the credit card debt, there was no way. But my God broke through. You getting this? I want to encourage you. Stand to your feet right now. Stand to your feet. Put your Bibles away in this way. I want to encourage you to believe God, no matter how impossible it looks, that the rest of this year is going to be the best of this year. Those places that look like the devil has such a hold in your life, whether it's finances, whether it's relationships, looks like it could never break through. Let's say our God broke through. My God is breaking through. Let's close our eyes right now. I want to pray over each and every one of you. If you're here in this place tonight and you'd say, Daniel, I have some things in my life I need a breakthrough in. There's some things I've been believing for. And just like you said, it seems like it's not happening. Man, I'm not seeing one bit of movement. I don't have any hope. In fact, I just kind of gave up. I'd like to pray for you right now. Just like we said tonight, if you'd raise your hand, can I see your hands across this place? You need a breakthrough by the end of this year. Come on, raise them high. I'm going to raise my hand too because I got something too. And let's do right here. Let's make a commitment together to do these things. I'm going to pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, God, tonight. And we stand with pastor's word that this is going to be the year of better. No matter what it looks like, we believe, God, we see it. In our mind of faith, God, we see, God, those finances taken care of. We see those children saved and coming home. God, we see that healing that the doctor said there's no chance being healed. God, we see the breakthrough. And God, right now, we ask, and these different obstacles each and every one of us are facing, we thank you, God, for a sudden move, a sudden outpouring of your favor. God, we ask right now for your power, your strength, God, to break through. God, we ask for your wisdom. God, you said if we'd ask for wisdom, God, you would show us. You would give us the breakthrough ideas to make it through these obstacles. And then, God, lastly, if there's anything in our lives that have been holding us back, forgive us, God. If there's been anything in our lives, God, that have kept us from experiencing the breakthrough, maybe it's unforgiveness, maybe it's hidden sin. God, anything that's held us back this year, God, we ask you to forgive us of it, God. We thank you for doing it, God. And through the eye of faith, God, we see each and every one of us having that breakthrough. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen.
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week and don't forget that God is for you.